Joshua chapter 9, Joshua 9, verse 22 through 26. Joshua 9, verse 22 through 26. It says, "Then Joshua summoned the Gibeonites and said, 'Why did you deceive us by saying, we live a long ways from you, while actually you live near us? You are now under a curse. You will never be released from service as woodcutters and water carriers for the house of my God.' They answered Joshua, 'Your servants were clearly told how the Lord your God had commanded his servant Moses to give you the whole land and to wipe out all its inhabitants from before you. So we feared for our lives because of you, and that is why we did this. We are now in your hands. Do to us whatever seems good and right to you.' So Joshua saved them from the Israelites, and they did not kill them." I want to talk to you about lessons from the Gibeonites' deception. Lessons from the Gibeonites' deception, part one. Has anybody here ever been deceived? Perhaps a family member or a friend, somebody on the job, somebody in the community. I wouldn't be surprised even if it was somebody in the church, perhaps has deceived us. But the preacher came to tell you that in spite of the pain and distraction of being deceived, Romans 8:28 is still valid. God is working in all things to bring good out of it for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. If you pay attention, you'll discover that God can teach us some things even in the time of deception. In our text today, there's a group of people known as the Gibeonites. These people lied and connived their way into a peace treaty with the people of God because they feared that the people of God was about to wipe them out. Though we may raise an eyebrow of concern about their tactics, when you think about the distance between being in covenant with God and being out of covenant with God, you would understand that you will, by whatever means necessary, the best way you know, you want to get right with our God. Now, if you keep the text in mind, it'll help you understand our thesis for today, that we should be mindful of God, ethics, and the truth coming out. What is the pastor talking about? He's talking about God, ethics, and the truth coming out. Can I talk about God for a minute? The Gibeonites had some understanding of God's power and God's grace. Perhaps they learned about his power when they heard how God empowered his people to destroy the city of Jericho and win the victory at Ai. That was power stuff. But perhaps their glimpse of God's grace came from the story of Rahab, the prostitute. From that story, they learned that even though Israel may be the apple of God's eye, God is known to make exceptions for those who call upon his name. The Gibeonites, people who were not born worshiping Jehovah, understood a glimpse of God's power and grace. I came here to tell you that God is still powerful. I said God is still powerful. Now, it is true that God can use the power to give us peace of mind, pay our bills, heal our bodies, reconcile our relationships, give our life purpose, all that's true. But God can also use that same power against us. The power that he uses to keep the sun shining, the power that he uses to keep the oxygen mixture right in the atmosphere, the power that God uses to keep the temperature at an inhabitable level on planet Earth. God can use that same power. And you know, he doesn't need to turn off the sun. He can just turn your lights and gas on. God don't need to suck all of the oxygen out of the atmosphere. He can just stop your lungs from breathing. The Gibeonites understood that God was too powerful to be playing with. They said, I need to get off of God's hit list. Now, most of us got enough sense to get off the railroad tracks when you see the train coming. Most of us got enough sense to get out the street when you see the truck coming. We ought to have enough sense then to get out of God's way when we see that we are in the way of God's destructive power. Every sinner ought to understand that because the wages of sin is death and all have sinned, I need to get off of the track. Every person that's saved should understand that God chastens whom he loves. He scourges everyone. I need to get off of the track. The best way, listen, to get out of the way of God's destroying power is to obey his will. The best way to get out of the way of God's destroying power is to obey his will. Now, there's a long list of what God wants us to do. Today, I want to bring to your attention evangelism. One of the things that God wants us to do is evangelism. That is, help people get saved. The insert in your bulletin talks about evangelism. What can you do to help with evangelism? Well, something all of us can do is pray. Nobody sitting up in here can come up with a legitimate reason why you can't pray for people who need to be saved. Not only can we pray, but almost all of us can invite and try to bring people to not only the worship experience, but to special events. There are people who are not all that interested in coming to the worship, but they would enjoy a free meal. Somebody say amen. There are people that's not thinking about worship, but they would enjoy a $50 Kroger card. There are some folk that need to be invited to the special event, and you need to be the one who does the inviting. What can I do with evangelism? I'm not a great speaker. How can God use me with evangelism? Here's something we could do. We can be regular, friendly participants in worship. First of all, we need to be regular. That means Sunday ought to be a day that you go and worship the Lord. Sunday come every 7 days. I think some of y'all think Sunday only come like once a month. Amen. So Sunday, we worship the Lord weekly around. This is not the South. We don't worship on the second and fourth Sunday and then next year the first and the third. No, this is the city now. We worship every Sunday. Up here, somebody say amen. You need to be regular in worship. Then you need to be friendly in worship. You need to bring your smiles to worship. If you can't dress up and smile, just smile. If you can't do what you want to do and smile, just smile. Because you never know what people carry in their heart on any given Sunday morning. The person sitting next to you talking about praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus. You don't know what's going on with their children. You don't know what's going on with their spouse. You don't know what's going on with their job. You don't know what's going on with their health. Some of anything could be going on. And your apathy and sometimes snobbishness is not helping. You need to bring a smile. And so if smiling is not your thing, don't think of it as smiling. Just think of it as lifting your upper lip. Amen. Because I know smiling is hard, all right? So don't smile. Just lift your upper lip. I've seen people with only two teeth smile. I've seen folk with no teeth smile. And yet there are those here who got teeth and won't smile. And then participate in worship. It is sending conflicting messages for you to sit in a worship experience. You come here and your presence suggests that you came here to worship because it's a worship service. This is where worshipers come. So your presence suggests you came here to worship. But then we watched as we prayed. You didn't want to pray. We watched during the song service. You didn't act like that did anything for you. The preaching went over. You act like did nothing happen in preaching. You basically just sat here like you was watching a movie. That does not help the worship experience. Worship ought to be a Jesus pep rally. When you and I, now when the world comes to worship, they spectators. How can you worship him if you don't know him? I know why the world don't shout. But I can't understand how we who claim to be covered by the blood can sit in 2 hours of worship and don't even look like a man. If you want to help with evangelism, if you want to get out of God's way, you better obey. And one of those areas is evangelism. Another area is love. The Bible spends a lot of time talking about how believers ought to love one another. Love includes ministry involvement. When our member was in duress this morning, distress, duress, when he was in trouble this morning, one of the ladies who, I'm not even sure this woman is a member of our church, but she was in the worship service. She saw that something was going on. She has a medical background. She came from all the way in the back over here, all around the church to come up here to provide assistance. Didn't nobody have to go recruit her. She didn't have 1,001 excuses. She said, I'm able to respond to the need. Let me go do the best that I can. This is what love does. Love says, I don't have everything, but what I do have, how can I be of assistance? The growth groups are a marvelous way to get involved with love. Another thing on the list as I move along, we're talking about if you want to stay out of God's way, just obey his will. Evangelism is important. Yes, love is important. Yes, this presidential election is important. Now, you know, the Bible says ye are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. We're supposed to be making a positive impact. I think some of us thought when Donald Trump announced his bid for president, we kind of thought he was playing. We thought this was a joke. We like, no, he can't be serious. Really running? The president of what, Donald? The president of the United States of America. We thought maybe it's a publicity stunt that he's just trying to make a big name for himself and then he's going to go and sell a book or do something and just add more billions to his billions. But as we see him winning caucuses and primaries, it's making us take another look about, is he playing or is he serious? I can tell you this, if you want to be celebrating after the election instead of crying after the election, you might want to take this ministry of voting much more seriously. It's embarrassing to wear kente cloth in February and then don't go vote in March. The primary is March the 15th. It's embarrassing to wear your kente all February long like you're down with the cause and then embarrass the cause by not voting in March or November for the general election. This kente is a salute to people who die so we can have a right to vote. For you to wear the kente and then don't go vote, you spit on their contribution. Yeah. This notion of God is powerful. If he's really powerful in your mind, you ought to get right with him. You ought to get out of his way. And the best way to get out of his way is to obey. But the Gibeonites understood not only God as a powerful God, but they understood him to be a gracious God. They said, we got to give grace a chance. They just believe that if we could get in some kind of a peace treaty by whatever means necessary, maybe God would be as gracious to me as he was to Rahab. Anybody here thankful that God is a God of grace? Undeserved mercy, unmerited favor. Every unsaved person ought to tell the Lord, thank you for your grace, because you have a little more time to get right with him. If you're saved, but know you're not dotting all of the I's, crossing all of the T's, evangelism, edification, love, worship, community involvement, excellence, none of this rings a bell with you, you ought to tell the Lord, thank you for your grace. None of us deserve to be here. We are all here by the grace of God. Are y'all still with me here? The Gibeonites challenge us to think about God being a God of power and grace, yes, but they also challenge us to think about ethics. Somebody say ethics. Ethics is the study of what is morally right and what is morally wrong. When you're trying to figure out what's the right thing to do and what's the wrong thing, you are now in the area of ethics. When you look at the Gibeonites, they challenge us to think about ethics because they lied. They pretended as if they were a far way from Joshua and the people of God, when in reality, they was just around the corner. They lied because they understood that Israel was under orders to kill everybody who lived close, but they could make peace treaty with those who lived afar away. And so these people lied so they would not be destroyed by God. This raises an ethical problem. Can I tell you, in ethics, there's this thing called the greater good. The greater good says if you have two options before you, you ought to always choose the greater good. And so it would have been good for the Gibeonites to tell the truth, but it was even better for them to save their lives. So this school was saying, I subscribe to the latter group. It's called the least of the evils. Several schools of thoughts. This latter group says the least of the evils. Sometimes in life, you have to choose between bad and worse. In this case, choose bad. And tell the Lord, please forgive me for the bad that I had to do. This crowd would describe the Gibeonites as having to choose between lying and dying. Now, lying is bad, isn't it? But how many of y'all know dying is a little bit worse than lying? All right? The reason for the mini lecture on ethics is because life can be ethically messy. Anybody live long enough to know life is not always black and white? It's not always cut and dry. Anybody got some gray stuff in your life, a little fuzzy? Now, there are some folk that because your bills are paid and your stomach is full and your family is good, you still think there's things, well, I just would never do that. But I tell you what you do. Let life slap you upside the head hard enough and you'd be surprised what you and your saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost-filled self will do. I've heard folk talk about, well, I would never be in a bed for bread relationship. I got two things to say about this. One, some of the people that say I would never be in a bed for bread relationship don't even have to worry about it, because don't nobody want to be in a bed for bread relationship with you. So you get excused because you have no invitations. Yeah. But secondly, I would say that this gets a little murky. The water gets a little murky because there are those who condemn the lady that's standing on the corner because they think they are somehow better than the lady that's standing on the corner, but you shacking with somebody because of the financial benefit. And Then some of y'all saying, well, I ain't shacking. Yeah, I know you ain't shacking no more. But the person you sleep with, you don't love them, you love the money. If they was broke, you would have been gone. But they pay the bills. You like cable TV. You like getting your hair done. You like getting your fingernails done and your toenails done. You like having gas in your car. So you don't really particularly like him. But it's a package deal. Be careful. Be careful about talking about what you won't do. Sometimes we just use prettier language for the dirt that we do. Ethics can get messy. Those who do not have the taste of alcohol in their mouth are tempted to be high-minded and look down on those who are alcoholics and drug addicts. And you talk about how they ought to be stronger and how Jesus gives you power to fight off all of your demons. Be careful. Because even though we may not all be drug addicts, how many of y'all know we all sin addicts? Everybody sitting up in here got some sin in your life. Some of us don't have skeletons in our closet. Some of us got people in our closet. Skeleton suggests it's dead. Some of our stuff ain't dead. It's living in our closet. You may not be addicted to alcohol, praise the Lord, but you don't have a whole lot of room for bragging, and you're still addicted to pornography. Pornography. Whether on the phone or the computer or your DVD or your VHS or your beta or your magazines. You may not be addicted to drugs, praise the Lord, but there are those who are addicted to being a hypocrite, addicted to gossip, addicted to being lukewarm half-steppers. Yeah. Ethics get messy. But I thank God for God's grace. I'm thankful that somehow, God is able to look past all of the mess in our life and extend grace to those who come to him the best way they can. Now, these Gibeonites, they came questionably. They came in lying, deceiving, but they made it to the grace of God. And what I'm excited about is God, not always people, but God has a way of showing grace to those who get to him the best way they know how. So those who come with suit and tie, the door is open. But I thank God those who come with blue jeans and t-shirts, the door is just as open. Those who come clean and sober, come on in. But even those that got last night's alcohol still on your breath and the smell of weed is still in your weave, come on in. That the grace of God is so much larger than what people would give you permission for. What I love about God is he does not need the Sanhedrin or church to say yes. When God say yes, it's yes. God don't need nobody else to co-sign his yes. The Israelites had problems with the Gibeonites. There was buzz in the camp that these people have lied to us and therefore we ought to kill them. But the grace of God protected them. If there's any sinners in the house, and if anybody here know a sinner, carry this jewel back. It's found in Luke chapter 18, verse 13. Listen to these powerful words. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Isn't that good news? That if we can just get to 13, verse 14 says he was justified. He was declared righteous. That God has grace that is able to look past the messiness of our life and save us. Even when our ethics are off, if we can just get to God's grace, his grace is sufficient. It doesn't always make sense. People may not always understand. Church folks, sure enough, don't understand. But God has, the songwriter said, it's amazing grace. It's a grace that surpasses our understanding. We don't know the length of it. We don't know the breadth of it. We don't know the depth of his grace. Somehow his grace is sufficient. But then, not only do the Gibeonites challenge us to think about God and ethics, lastly, they help us remember that the truth comes out. I said the truth comes out. The Gibeonites lied and were deceptive. They got their peace treaty signed, but just a few days later, the truth of the matter came out. Can I tell y'all, the truth still has a way of coming out? No matter how slick you think you are, no matter how private you think you are, the truth has a way of coming out. If you don't believe me, ask President Nixon about Watergate, and does stuff have a way of coming out? If y'all done forgot Nixon, ask President Clinton, does stuff have a way of coming out? And if Bill is busy, ask Miss Lewinsky about, does stuff have a way of coming out? I don't care how slick you are, the truth has a way of coming out. And if by chance we can get over on people, how many of y'all know we can't get over, cannot get over on God? We can never be so sneaky that God can't see. Because after all, God can see in the dark. God can see around the corner. God can see through the wall. Proverbs 15:3 says, the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. And so then, if your life is jacked up, instead of trying to hide your dirt, the best thing to do is to try to live in line with God's word. This means living as holy on Tuesday and Saturday as we act like we live on Sunday. Because how many of y'all know God is watching us all of the days of the week, not just Sunday? Because the truth comes out. Because God sees us. Everybody who claims to be a member of this church ought to give their very best to the mission of the church. All of us ought to be involved in helping people come to transformative worship. All of us ought to be a part of helping people grow in the growth groups. All of us ought to be a part of our church making a tangible impact in this community. When we think about how great God is and how much he's put in us, we ought to be embarrassed to think that our goal is to have just 6,000 hours a year, just $30,000 a year. What is that for a God like the God that we serve? But let me close now by telling you that if by chance you leave here with good intentions, I'm going to serve my powerful and gracious God. I'm going to serve him because he's looked past so many ethical blunders in my life. If you leave here with good intentions, but fall flat on your face when you leave this sanctuary, the good news is that if we would confess our sins, God is faithful, God is just, He will forgive us of our sins, and He will purify us from all unrighteousness. Oh, there's power in just coming clean with the Lord. You don't have to play with God. You can just tell the Lord, "Lord, I'm sorry that I have not been the witness that you want me to be. I'm sorry that I have not loved the way you told me to love." You and God can always talk about it. The reason I lift this is because the enemy has a bag of tricks that he always hold over us. And one of those tricks is spiritual blackmail. That is, the devil suggests to us that we better be cool or else he's going to expose our dirt. But the preacher came by to tell you, don't let the devil blackmail you. On the contrary, turn yourself in to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. Don't let the devil blackmail you. Turn yourself in to the God who says that my grace, it is sufficient. Now, we might have to pay the consequences of our sin. The Gibeonites spent the rest of their life cutting wood and carrying water. But how many of y'all know it's better to be a wood chopper for the Lord than to be a free person for Baal? It's better to be a water carrier, but under the hand of God's grace, than to be a dead worshiper of idols. I gotta come in now, but if you really want to be blessed, you got to learn how to live like God has power and grace. Enough power and grace to take our best and make up the rest. If your hope in life is to dot all the I's and cross all the T's, then you are a hopeless person. Because the truth of the matter is that even at our best, and we're rarely at our best, but at our best, we're still dirty and filthy rags. But I thank God that He has enough grace to look past our faults and meet all of our needs. And then, if you really want our church to be healthier, you got to understand that God is a God of power and a God of grace. Some of the stuff that we argue and fuss about is really not all that important when you understand that God is a God of power and a God of grace. Yeah, and I thank God that He's not just a one-sided God. Yeah, I couldn't use a God that has grace but has no power, because grace would give me pity, but grace won't give me deliverance. I need power to help me get out of trouble. I need power to make my enemies stumble and fall. I need power to make a way out of no way. I need grace and power. I'm glad that God does not only have power. If He had power but no grace, He would use his power to destroy my sinful self. The only way God is able to use his power for my good is because he has power and grace. Isn't God all right? I got a clothing now, but I thank God that if we get serious about living like God has power and grace, we will discover that the same God that raised Lazarus from sickness and death, that same God can breathe on us. Lord, have mercy. He can breathe on our efforts to build wisely. He can breathe on our efforts to be a praying church. He can breathe on our efforts to reach for our loved ones. Is it anybody here that's glad to be on the Lord's side? Anybody here glad about being in the hands of the Lord? Can anybody testify it's a mighty good place to be in the hands of the Lord? And I thank God for just holding me. I thank him for never dropping me. But he holds me in his hand. He don't squeeze me too hard. He just holds me in his hand. The winds of life have tried to blow me, but the Lord keeps on holding me. The devil have tried to pull me, but the Lord keeps on holding me. I'm in the hands of the Lord, and every name I call on his power and his grace, I need both of them. Every single day I need his power to wake me up, and then I need his grace to forget about what I did yesterday. I need his power to help me make it through the day, and then I need his grace to close doors of danger. I am in the hands of the Lord. Now let me tell you, y'all might think that you know me, but the truth is you're looking at the shell that I'm really living in. You're seeing there's at least a spiritual and a physical part to me. And I've discovered that no matter how hard I work on my diet and work on exercising, no matter how hard I work on keeping y'all off of my nerves, death is coming my way. And when death comes, I don't want you to be confused. Death is nothing but a closet where I take off mortality and put on immortality. Don't get confused about what death is. Death is where I turn in my rented tuxedo. Death is the place where I turn in the rented vehicle of my soul. I gotta turn it in, but I still live. And what I love about my Jesus is his hands hold me on both sides of death. Isn't God all right when this body goes back to the ground? One of these days somebody's gonna say, Reb is dead, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Don't worry about it, they're just talking about my body. My soul is anchored in Jesus. My soul is in the hands of the Lord. It is well with my soul. If I die today, I'm in the hands. I'm in the hands. I'm in the hands of the Lord. Anybody know? It's good to know you're in the hands of the Lord. And the reason I know I'm still there is because this morning when I rose, I had Jesus on my mind. Yeah, it's so good to know that you know that you know that you know that things are well between the Lord and myself. And the reason I'm so sure is because I believe that his grace is sufficient. If all I had was his laws, then I would be afraid to go to sleep, because I've sinned and fallen short of his laws. I read that if I break any of the laws, then I am a lawbreaker. Yeah. In other words, I don't become a lawbreaker just because I break capital laws. I'm not a lawbreaker just because I break felony laws. But even misdemeanors make me a lawbreaker. But I thank God I got more going for me than my feeble attempt to live by the word of God. I got grace. Yeah, grace in the morning, grace in the afternoon, grace late in the evening, grace when I sleep and don't know if I'm dead or alive. Grace is alive. Grace is wide awake, watching over my bedside, and I'm happy about his grace. And I say to every sinner in the room, his grace is not only sufficient, but his grace is available. You don't have to leave him with a hung down head talking about, woe am I, because of my sin. There's still room under the blood, there's still room. Under his grace, there's still room for sinners like you. Come while you have the time. Come while the Spirit says come. The window of opportunity is closing. Come while you still have time. You may not get this chance again. Come to the fountain that's filled with the Savior's blood. Come under this flow that can wash you whiter than the snow. Come now, my brother, my sister. He's able. He's able. It doesn't matter how jacked up your life is. If the Gibeonites can get in with their lying, deceptive selves under the law, then surely you can come under grace. There's no reason for you to stay outside the ark of safety when you're being invited to come in. God is a powerful God. Don't play with him. Don't assume that because you have gotten by this loan that you still got time. God is long-suffering. He's trying to give you enough time. But when you hit the deadline, you don't get a chance to do it again. His grace can handle whatever ethical issues are going on in your life. Everybody sitting around you got some dirt that we don't want nobody to know about. But grace is sufficient. The real you is going to come out. The truth always does. So instead of perpetrating, trying to act like something that you're not, just come clean. Just come clean. And tell the Lord, Lord, it's me standing in the need of prayer. Just come clean. Just tell the Lord, Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Not merciful to me, a preacher. Not merciful to me, a choir member. Not merciful to me, a church member. No, no stripes. No stripes on our arms. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And save me for Christ's sake. If you're here today and know that you need to get your business fixed with God, ain't no way in the world I would leave without making sure I have peace with God. Would you stand? The invitation is extended. If things are not well between God and yourself, today's a good day. This place is a good place for you to come and say yes to the Lord.